Welcome to the More Life Church podcast. We are always encouraged to know that God is working through this ministry to touch lives. So if you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know and send us an email to amen@morelifechurch.com. Now enjoy today's message.
We're going to read from 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm very, very excited to let you in on something that happened in our world this last week, and it involves you and we as a church. I just want to throw this out there, and I'll circle back to it here in a minute. This last week, we as a church took another step of generosity, and we participated in the single largest act of generosity in the history of our church as it relates to helping another church eliminate some of their debt. And so I'm going to talk about that here in a few minutes, but I'm really excited about what we as a church were able to accomplish. And this whole series is about understanding what matters most to God, and it's about being rich. And that last week we learned that we're not trying to get rich. We already are rich in so many different ways. And it was an incredible journey, and we looked at this kind of from a financial standpoint, that if you made at least $13,500 in 2016, you were in the top 10% of wage earners in the world. In other words, if you made at least $13,500, you made more than 90% of the planet. Does that boggle anybody's mind besides me? It's just hard to get your mind around, and it's absolutely true. And so if you as a household made at least $33,000 between two incomes, you were in the top 1% of wage earners in the world, not the United States. That's a whole different measurement, but in the scope of the entire world, you were in the top 1%. And the point there was this: so many times we get our eyes off on the wrong things, trying to chase something and miss out on what God has already done for us. In other words, you don't have an income problem. You have an outgo problem. And we've got to get this back in line with God's way of thinking. And we're going to talk about this today. I'm going to talk to you today about the subject of generosity. I'm going to encourage you. Could anybody use some encouragement this morning? If you can't use any encouragement, you just go ahead and get the heck on out of here right now, all right? Because we're going to encourage the socks off of you. Go ahead. Just log off if you don't want. We're gonna talk about generosity. And generosity is something that not only encourages others, but when you participate and practice it, it encourages you. Remember, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so we're going to talk about being a rich giver today. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm a rich giver. Go ahead and tell them. Turn to somebody else, turn to somebody different and say, I'm still looking for evidence of that in their life. First Timothy chapter 6. And I'm going to read verse 17 and 18. Command those, Paul says to Timothy, command those who are rich in this present age. That's you. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Verse 18, let them, who? The rich, let you, let us, let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give. Everybody say, ready to give. Willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. And so we're going to talk about being a rich giver and being generous and what that means for us and how we can participate in that. Let me just tell you from the onset, the thing that I love about generosity is the way God creates this is that generosity is not determined by a social or economic class of people, because your generosity, my generosity, is not tied to my economic standing. Generosity is tied to and connected to a heart condition. See, generosity is a heart that is so full of compassion that it must express itself in some tangible, meaningful, measurable way. And so it doesn't matter if you're rich, poor, in the middle, you have the potential and the capacity
to be generous. You have the potential to be generous. And you can choose to be generous. And when Paul says this, he is speaking in a time that's very different. But there is a purpose. There's a reason why God made you rich. And it's found in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11. I'm going to read from the NIV. It says this, "You will be made rich in every way, so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God." So the reason that God has blessed us, the reason that God has made us rich, is so that we will be generous. But don't you find it interesting that you have to remind yourself on a regular basis about how good God has been to you? In other words, it's easy to let your mind gravitate to what you don't have and forget about all the things that you do have. Everybody in this place, you've got stuff that you don't use and haven't used for a really long time. In other words, this church is full of a people who have been blessed by a too much God with too much stuff. But listen, it's God's nature. By nature, he's a giver. Don't you love that about God? Like, he is a God of more than enough and excess and super abundance. I love it about God that he has too much in his creative wheelhouse. In other words, you know, there's a lot of times people, they complain about waste. And usually, you know what I've noticed? People rarely pick on themselves with what they waste. They normally focus on others and you and what you waste rather than what on they waste. Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed how everybody wants to be an expert in what you have? And you know, people who talk about this waste, and I grew up in a house, maybe you grew up in a house that was like this. You better eat everything that's on your plate. Don't let anything go to waste. Anybody raised in a house like that? That's okay. But you know what now? I found out this to be true, that God is wasteful. Think about this. There will be more bananas that fall off the banana bush in the jungle this season than the animals have room to eat. We have this little rickety, annoying apple tree in our backyard. And I crush those things with our lawnmower, and they're rotten and they stink and they invite bees. What's the deal? This tree produces more than what the area around it can even consume. God is a too much generous type of God. And he wants us to take on this nature that we are just too much generous people. How many of you know you have too much in your house? Let me prove it to you. Because I have a suspicion there's at least one family probably watching online. Nobody here, but somebody watching online. You've got like two or three empty Cool Whip containers in your cabinet that you save just in case you need it. There's at least one or two guys in this place. You've got something in your garage that came off a car that was broke down, and it's sitting on a shelf someplace. It stopped working in that machine you were working on, but for some reason you save it because you never know. You might need that broken piece of equipment for something. Right? What is at the core of that? I think at the core of that is a fear of running out. A fear of not having enough. I don't think at the core of that it is really about the spirit of generosity. I think it's a spirit of fear that says, ooh, we got to save this. Because if we don't save this, we could run out of something and then not have a need met. I want you to understand something, guys, that we are so blessed in this community. We are so blessed in this country. You are rich. And as soon as you get that, the more quickly you'll be able to activate the spirit of generosity in your life. And the more you resist that, it creates troubles. I ran into an interesting statistic. Here's what it is on generosity. Studies show that the more people make, the less they give. The more you make, the less you give. So the whole storyline that happens to me all the time, which is, hey, preacher, if I won the lottery, I'd build you a new building. I've been told that by dozens of people. But you know what the truth is? Jesus said this. He said, unless you're faithful in little, you'll never be faithful in much. In other words, if you don't give when you've got nothing, you won't give when you have something. You are buying a lie. You are telling yourself an untruth. The time you become generous is when you have something small, because you begin to train yourself and teach yourself, this thing is never going to meet my need. It's never going to be enough. It's never going to be all that satisfies me. There's always going to be a gap between what I have and what I think I want or need. There's another statistic that was very interesting that says this, that the bottom 20% of wage earners give twice as much as the top 20% of wage earners. That's pretty crazy. So, if you want to be above average, how many want to be above average? I want to be above average. I don't want to just be average. I want to be above average. If you want to be above average, start being generous right where you are with what you have, and you'll be in that above average category. Paul says that we're to be rich and ready to give. There are three ways that we can give. Let me give you these so you can write them down. I believe truly rich people give in one or more of these three ways. The first one is strategically. You have a plan. You plan to do it. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, each one of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Don't disconnect those two parts of the verse. God doesn't just want you giving and saying, well, gosh, I guess if I have to, I will. They talked me out of that $5. They talked me out of this. No. When we give, we're supposed to be fired up, ready to go, excited, like, whoa, I get to do this today. I get to help somebody. I get to be generous. I don't have to be stingy no more. I can be like God and give. Thank you for y'all's enthusiasm right there. Versus the person that gives and they watch the envelope as it goes away from him in the bucket toward the usher in the center aisle, and they just say, I wish I got that back. There it goes. But to be excited about it, but to have a plan to strategically do this. And this plan, God calls tithing. And this is God's plan, that the first 20% of everything that comes into your hand, you set aside for God. That's strategic way to do it, to have a plan. If you don't have a plan for this, I want to help you get a plan. Because this is God's way of living in his economic system and allowing him to have his full blessing in your life. It's strategic. It's strategic, and you have a plan. This is what tithing teaches me. It teaches me to put God first. It says, he's first. Nobody else is first. This is his. My house payment to First Federal is not first. My energy co-op bill is not first. My payment to Ford is not first. My kids' lunch money is not first. God is first. And my wife and I, we are sticklers for this. Like, it's the first thing that we do. You want to know why? Because if you wait until you do it last, you won't do it because there won't be anything left. Because you know how many things are trying to get in there and get into that system and break that up and cause you to... See, the second thing it does when you're strategic is it causes my faith in God to increase. It's like, man, I need this. I need this. But I trust God that he's going to come through for me. And I've chosen, I'd rather live off of 90% that's blessed than 100% that's not blessed. And so when we have a strategic plan, we can be a rich giver. The second way that we do this is sacrificially. Sacrificially, which means it hurts. We're not going to give to God something that doesn't cost us something. It's a sacrifice. I made sacrifice this week. Just a small little sacrifice. One category. You know you can sacrifice against your will? Let me tell you a story. So this week, somebody in my family wanted me to stop at Subway because they liked their raspberry cheesecake cookies. Anybody ever had that raspberry cheesecake cookies at Subway? They're really good, okay? I endorse them 100%. They're excellent. And so this individual wanted two. I said, cool. So I went in, cut in line, cut in the front of the line because I wasn't getting a sub. So I just went right straight to the register. And I said, I would like three cheesecake cookies, please. They gave me three. And so I left. And I gave them to my family member. And on the way home, we had to stop at the school. I had to bring something to Audrey. And so I took that thing that was going to Audrey. I brought it in there. Went home, finished my lunch, and asked this family member, where's the cookies? And this family member said, they gone. I said, but I bought three, and you said you only wanted two. In case you don't get it, there was an extra one supposed to be for me. And this family member said, oh, you brought that into the school to Audrey. So I sacrificed a raspberry cheesecake cookie against my will this week. And I just wanted you to know that because I believe in giving sacrificially, even if I don't get to choose. It hurt. I promise you it hurt. Like, just like sacrifice, it hurt. It's silly that we're thinking about it that way. But one way that we give is through sacrifice. And this is the point. David said it this way. He said, I will not give something to my God that did not cost me something significant. Like, sacrifice costs. It means you could have used it. You had a purpose in it, but you gave up what you were going to use and gave it away. The third type of way that a rich giver gives is spontaneously. Not pre-planned, not ready, not having given it much thought. Now, this frightens some of you to no end because everything in your world has to fit in this tiny little box of compartment called planned and prepared. And it has to be like really, really ready in your world. And if you have an idea inside of you to do something that you didn't plan, you begin to rebuke the devil because you think that's where it came from. But spontaneously, God will move in our hearts. So back to the Subway, I went to the front of the line and I cut in. And there was a lady behind me and I whispered to the cashier, I said, I want these three cookies, but I'm going to buy her lunch too. And while she's ringing it up, I'm thinking, I hope she's not getting lunch for the whole office because I'm not ready for that kind of spontaneous giving. And so they rang it up and it was for her. And so I went out and by the time I got to my car, here came this lady. She said, hey, thank you. Do you know how long she'll remember that? A long time. But you know how long I'll remember it? Even longer. Because it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. Like, I mean, in my whole heart, My whole heart was in I didn't say anything to her because I didn't want her to know who it was or whatever. And the lady at the register said, hey, he just paid for you. Who? The guy that just... And so she came out there. And so strategically, sacrificially, spontaneously are the ways we give. Now, there's a story that Jesus tells. And Daniel, if you're in earshot, will you come and help me, please, on the keyboard? There's a story in Matthew that talks about this man that comes to Jesus. And he's labeled as a rich young ruler. So he's got really three pretty good things going for him. He's got resources. He's got youth. And he's got influence. He's kind of got it going on. And Jesus has a conversation with him. And his desire is to inherit eternal life. He wants to have the life that God promised. And he begins to ask Jesus, how do I get this? And Jesus says, keep these commandments. Don't steal. Don't kill. All these commandments. And the young man says, I've kept all of these commandments from my youth. And Jesus said, there's one thing you lack. Sell everything you have. Come, follow me. Now, that isn't the call that I'm giving you today, but here's the punchline of what happened in that interaction with Jesus. That rich young leader left sorrowful, the Bible says. Check this out. Watch this. He left with his money and stuff, but he also left with the sorrow that came with it. So Jesus was trying to disconnect him from the sorrow of this world system by saying, be a generous person. See, when you're generous, you can have nothing but still have joy inside. You can have nothing outwardly and joy and peace and life inwardly. You can have nothing out here but everything in here. But here's what he was doing. He was getting locked into these uncertain riches that Paul taught us about through his letter to Timothy. And every person in here faces this. I face it. You face it. Because you start to see resources collect, and it's easy to say, oh, I don't need God because I've got this. And we can begin to think about it that way. Can I make a confession to you? I've done that, and I've done that recently. And this last bit is where the punchline's going to come for you to really get victory over some things if this is what you've been struggling with. So many of you know that we have been making really incredible forward progress in terms of our Building Life campaign, which is our project to expand, to double the occupancy of our kids and double the occupancy of our adults. And a couple weeks ago, I got the first elevation or concept drawing. And when that hit me, man, it hit me. Like, we're not talking about this anymore. We're doing it. There's a sign out front that we've said to the whole community, we're doing this thing. And we have made tremendous progress. So Jeremiah and I were talking, and this is kind of how I process some stuff and how this can sneak into any of us and all of us, okay? So Jeremiah gave me an update, and do you know that so far over $280,000 has been given since May of 2016 for the Building Life campaign? Over $280,000. Reaching that 300,000 mark, which is our goal for the down payment. But let me tell you something. I got sucked into some stuff because when you're moving in this direction, and banks, how do you want to say this? Banks don't value faith in your conversation with them. And I don't blame them. I get it. So they begin to point you in a direction that says these analytics have to match up with this, and these measurables have to be that, and here's what the ratios have to be. And so, like, because I want to move forward, and I want to serve y'all well, and I want to serve our church family well, like, I kind of got sucked into that and kind of like, hey, wait, now we got to watch this, and we got to do this, and we got to do that, and we got to have this, and we got to have that, and like, this is an incredible amount, but we're just not there yet. Because how many of you know 300,000 is an incredible step, but if you're talking about that compared to 1.2, you're only 25% of the way there, so there's a lot more debt that's going to be incurred. And so, like, you start thinking about that stuff, and I'm like, man, we gotta hoard, and we gotta save, and we gotta protect, and we gotta trust in these things, and we gotta just really protect the building fund, and we gotta really protect every dollar, and we can't be guilty of being improper stewards of what God has given us, and you just really, really gotta zone in. And I was asked to speak at a church, and I've been asked that a lot for this year, and so when I can, I will do that. But I was asked to speak in a place, Lewisburg, little town, great church, couple campuses, doing a great job. And I was asked to speak there several weeks ago, and about 2 weeks out, I had this notion that we as a church should be generous toward them. And so I knew it was God, because it was a number that was way larger than I would have ever thought of on my own. And I'm like, I don't think I want to do this. You know, that's just kind of a little bit irresponsible. We're in a building campaign, and we're trying to do certain things, and da 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 da. And I just knew in my heart that we as a church are supposed to help them, because they're trying to get out of debt. We're supposed to help them get out of debt. So I tried to get out of it. So I called our board members. I said, hey, I know this is crazy, but this is what I think we're supposed to do. And every first one said, yep, let's do it, like, without any hesitation. I'm like, well, that was no help. So I called the next one on the list. They said, yep, let's do it. I called somebody else, and, like, I ran out of board members, and they all were like, the last one I talked to said, Josh, I need you to know something. I'm so proud of you, because I've seen young leaders. And I was just thankful that he called. He was talking about me when he said young. That really blessed me, number one. And he said, I've seen a lot of young leaders in the same spot that you are, that what you do, is, what they do is they get real, real stingy. Hoard. They get a hoarding mentality. And he said, what you're doing is the spirit of God. It's the spirit of generosity. And I want to encourage you. And so we went there, and I spoke. And at the end of the service, I told him that God had put this in my heart, and I told the pastor before the service, because I wanted him to be okay with it. And I was able to go on behalf of our church, and we sowed the single largest seed that we as a church have ever sown in the history of our church. And the pastor told me this, because I didn't know. The pastor told me this. It was the exact dollar amount to eliminate every bit of debt on that church. We did that. Because you know what? It's not about us building our kingdom. It's about us building God's kingdom. It's about us coming alongside of other people and being in operation of a spirit of generosity. Remember I told you can be sacrificially giving and against your will? That's an example. You gave sacrificially against your will through that act. Aren't you excited about that? Come on. It was interesting because as I looked out, that place went nuts. I mean, they went like a lot better than y'all did. They went nuts. And I looked at the pastor and his wife, and they were crying, and the pastor's sister was crying, and a bunch of their key leaders were crying, and I turned over to the young guy playing the keyboard like Daniel was, and this guy was crying, and then I looked over at the financial administrator, and he's smiling, going like this. Ready for the punchline? If you have fear in the area of finances, here's what I want you to know. Here's what I've learned. Here's what God's taught us. Generosity breaks the back of financial fears. Generosity breaks the back of financial fears. You want a way out of that financial fear that's been over your life? Get generous. Up your generosity. Maybe you've already been generous, but up that level of generosity. If that fear's gone up, here's what I've known every single time. Every time fear comes up, I just match that thing and punch it dead in the mouth with an act of generosity. Because I'm tired of being bullied by financial fear, aren't you? I'm tired of financial fears grabbing me around the neck and dragging me to the depths of despair and depths of discouragement and depths of debt. I'm just like, God, what's the solution? Right here's the solution, guys. Generosity is the solution. Generosity breaks the back of financial fear. I can't promise you that tomorrow you'll be out of the financial situation you're in by being generous, but here's what I can promise you. Generosity will diminish the level of fear in your life over the area of finances. Just boom, punch it dead in the mouth. You've been wanting to hit something for a long time. Just go ahead and punch fear right in the throat. Throat punch it with generosity. It'll break the back of financial fear when we're strategic, spontaneous, and sacrificial. Too much is given, much is required. I'm going to pray. We're going to have a chance to operate in generosity, and it may be spontaneous for you. It may be strategic for you. It may be sacrificial for you. But God has blessed us with more than we need. That makes us rich. And I don't know about you, but I'm not going to trust in uncertain riches. But I'm going to trust in Him who provides for me. Because I have more, I'm going to give more. I'm going to be generous in all kinds of ways. Generous with my energy, generous with my time, generous with my abilities, whatever they are, generous with my resources. Ange and I have taken this up a notch in our life. To just be generous. I want you to take 2 seconds and think about this. And maybe God would have you do something this morning that you didn't plan on doing. And if He does, I would just recommend that you just follow that which is in your heart. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. We're going to close with this. Appreciate everybody watching online. Appreciate y'all here listening so well. Lord, we just thank You for every person in this place. For any person in this place who is and has struggled at any level with fear in their finances, or struggled in any level of their finances, Lord, let the Spirit of Christ, which brings no condemnation, rest on each and every one right now. There is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. There does not have to be any guilt or pressure on our life in this area. But this needs to be an effortless, joy-filled, cheerful decision that we make regularly, not just today, but that we cultivate in our lives because it's Your way forward for us. Lord, for those who have been and are living that generous life, Lord, we give thanks for each and every one of them. For those who want to come up in their level of generosity, Lord, I ask for supernatural strength and courage to do that. And in Your time and in Your way. With heads bowed and eyes closed really quickly, for God so loved the world He gave. He gave the only thing that He had one of to come. Live a perfect life, die for you. You can miss everything that I've said, and that's okay. Except don't miss this. God has been generous toward you in providing a way of escape from the sin and shame and guilt that comes from the sin nature that is on humanity. And He sent the only thing that He had one of to die so that you could live, to pay the penalty on Calvary's cross, so that you could walk free of fear, shame, sin, guilt. You could walk from death into life. You could be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. His generosity provided that for each and every one of you in this place, each and every one of you watching online, each and every person listening to this podcast. And if you do not have a relationship with the risen Christ, and you'd like to make a decision today to put your full confidence and faith in Him, now is your time, and I'm going to ask you with an uplifted hand to respond. I'm not going to ask you to get out of your seat, but you don't know Jesus, or you've walked away from Him and haven't had a relationship with Him like you ought to, and you need to come home right now where you're seated. Lift up your hand and leave it there for a moment. I'm going to pray with you. If you need to make a decision to make Him the Lord of your life, go ahead and do it now and say, that's me. I need to put my faith and confidence in Him, and we'll pray. Go on. That's awesome. Can we all pray this out loud together? Pray it for those who may be praying it online as well. Everybody say this from your heart with me. Pray this from your heart, strong, loud. Say, dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your Son. Thank you that He died for me. Thank you that He was raised from the dead just for me. I believe in my heart, and I say with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Now and forever, I turn from my sin, and I turn to your Son, and I'll follow Him all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen. Make some noise for those individuals, please.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that you have been blessed through the teaching of God's Word. This resource is generously supported by More Life Church and listeners like you. We would like to give you the opportunity to partner with us to impact the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. To give or to learn more about More Life Church, visit our website at morelifechurch.com.